Good morning, website family, or good afternoon, or good evening. Maybe you're in your car, maybe you're at your table, feet up, and have your hot chocolate or your cup of coffee sitting there like you were doing with the morning programs. Just good to be back to family only here. I can have my dog sitting next to me here, and when she snores or growls or whatever, I don't have to delete it from the radio program. I don't have to be so picky with the sound on that thing. So it's just back to us again. And what we're going to keep doing here, and we're just going to keep coming up with some mini sermons or some longer sermons or no sermons and just put some notes on the page. I still have to keep my golden voice in shape. I know that there are folks out there that you said you'll miss the radio program. It's just a good time to hear us, a little mini sermon or whatever. Well, it's still available. All the programs, if you are a radio person that you're moving into our site, those programs are still available on the website, scatteredchristians.org. I suppose you probably know that in order for you to have found this page. What we're probably going to deal with here, I know I'm going to get off track quite often here because I've got some things I still want to talk about and bring out, whatever. And I know my website's full of stuff, but unless you know where it's at, you'll probably never find the things. Even myself, I've been going clicking back into that thing and finding some notes or some sermons or whatever that either I need to get rid of because it's in our early days, or I need to get them out in the open so people can find them and study them. It's been a number of years that we've been doing this, and I realized when I found that one in 2008 that, gee, I talk about that same stuff, and it's 2014 or 15 now. So I can see why some people have gotten bored, I guess. I don't get into the deep stuff. I don't get into the Old Testament or Ezekiel and the prophecy stuff and all that. I've never been interested in that, and I guess if you are, you can find a course someplace to take, I suppose. Just make sure it's a Paul following a rightly divided course or something, whatever. But I think it's important for us to realize as we get older, the next thing that we're going to have happen in our lives is either the rapture, you know, when the Gentiles as a nation are cut off, or our death. Hopefully it'll be a sudden, quick one. And the first thing we're going to deal with is our judgment seat of Christ. And that's where this gold comes up. So that's why I thought I would make that our main page again here. We won't be going back with the two sermons on Sunday and then the Wednesday night sermon context. We're just going to pop them on when I have the time. And when the circumstances are such, I just enjoy doing this. I still enjoy talking about this. And like I said, if the circumstances are right and the time is there, and I'm not coming down from my adrenaline high from school, then I'll put some audio things on here, and hopefully it'll keep you busy, and you'll enjoy the golden voice from North Dakota. We'll be looking at three different types of gold. As I look at my notes that I put on the site there, we'll be looking at three different types of gold here. Now, I'm not sure if you all have seen fool's gold before, but when I lived in South Dakota, in the Black Hills, there's a bunch of fool's gold out there. And it's real pretty. I have to admit, it's a neat-looking thing. But then we have to look at the earthly gold, and that's just money, worth money, that type of thing. And then we've got the eternal gold. And now I'm just going to kind of wing some of these things here. So if you go back to that fool's gold, and that's the gold that people think is worthwhile, it's got value to it, it's got a worth to it, but it doesn't. I would come home from rock hunting in the Black Hills, and I would show everybody, look at this, I think I found gold this time, which was possible because the Black Hills had that Homestake gold mine, which is one of the biggest ones, I guess, in the world or something for a while there. So gold does exist in the Black Hills, but obviously I never found it. And so what we have, I compare fool's gold to people that look to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, first eight chapters of Acts, Hebrews, James, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Jude. That's fool's gold if it's put out today. That will be gold someday, but not during this dispensation of grace. And so, are we going to spend a lot of time looking at fool's gold? I know that they have said that the best way to tell if something's counterfeit or not is to study the perfect pure dollar bill, for example, and then you can recognize a fake one. And that's true. But there's a little difference here. Let's go to Acts chapter 19 just for a moment. I've been here before too. Boy, I know I've repeated myself so many times with these things, but you know, oh well. We go to Acts chapter 19, and we see the story about Demetrius. You remember him, a silversmith who made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, so it was a very profitable business. It was where it was at. And they worshiped Diana, so it's a very religious, money-making outfit we got there. And in verse 25, whom he called together with a workman of like occupation, and said, "Sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth." They recognize the fact that there's money in their religion. They know that. And as I talk about this verse, these verses here, I'm just thinking of churches, denominations, bookstores, the whole thing, all of that. Moreover, you see in here that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul, see, now Paul comes along here, and these guys that are making money off in within their religion, Paul can fix that. Paul can change that. Now, we can't say throughout all Washington, throughout all North Dakota, throughout all America, we're down to the scattered bunch, so we realize that. But still, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that there be no gods which are made with hands. So that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, which is exactly what Paul's teachings does, it sets at naught all this other false religion stuff, money making, the whole thing, crowd gathering, you know, it's called gain in Timothy. So that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, or if we were singing that in the Messiah style, we would say should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. So we know that when Paul's stuff comes along, it's going to stir up people. And when you start getting to their money, then we got a problem. If we start getting to their gain, we got a problem. If it affects church attendance, there's a problem there. If it affects the people that are going so they can't pay their tithes and offerings anymore, that's what I think most of these pastors are afraid of. They just lose their gain. And when they heard these things, they were full of wrath. This is exactly how pastors react to this stuff. Or wives, or husbands, who's ever got the big gain out of the religion they're in. And cried out, saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." And the whole city was filled with confusion. And it goes on. They want to get rid of Paul. So, I don't have a problem with going through things that are false gold. I'm sorry, that are fool's gold. Because it's part of my despising religion. It's part of me wanting to destroy the magnificence of religion. So people would ask, well, why do you spend so much time, for example, on the Beatitudes, which is a classic place to go? Well, because, see, I despise those Beatitudes. I want to destroy what is magnificent about these people that want to follow these magnificent Beatitudes. They're all about love, etc., etc. So, I want to destroy that. And we have a ton of stuff on Paul, ton of stuff on rightly dividing, a ton of stuff on King James Bible. And again, it's all on the website, but I'm realizing that people just don't have the muscles in their finger anymore to click. And maybe my site is hard to find things. Maybe as I get older, I can't get much older, but if I get into a time where I can just take the time and just redesign the entire website, oh, what a thought. That'd be a huge job. Maybe I'll just say that for when I die, one of you guys can take that website and you can, what I like to see done are this, all the series that I have put into one little click. You can go to this particular series, the Old Testament Sunday School Lesson series, go into the Beatitude series, you go into the Matthew series, I got tons of series in that website. That would probably help people figure it out, but we're also finding out, aren't we, that when people are shown this stuff, unless they know there's a problem, unless they know something's not right, and unless they're actually still searching, doesn't matter what we do, doesn't matter what we say, doesn't matter what we show them. So I realize that. But maybe we can work this thing together with this fool's gold. If we can be able to expose some of the fool's gold that people have by showing them some of the questions I would ask them from the Beatitudes. Okay, sir, so you like the Beatitudes? Let me ask you a couple questions about the Beatitudes. And da-da-da-da. They get angry, get full of wrath, and they want to get rid of you. But that's okay. You did your part to try to destroy the magnificence. You did your part because you despise. I do recognize a lot of people that still say they understand what I'm teaching when it comes to Paul and the risen Savior and the King James Bible. But I still know of people that are still palsy-walsy. They're still trying to help the people in their church see the truth. And they still go there. And they still attend. And they still participate. And I think it's really hard for us to cut the line and just cut off this religion thing that we're so caught up with. Many of us have learned how hard it is to actually forget what we've been taught. So if you keep hanging around what you know is not to be true, that is going to have an effect on you, I think. So I still just get puzzled. Maybe it's my own thing. I want to see people pull the plug on the drain and get out of there and get into their Bibles. And if they need to, get into the website and find some stuff and get excited about the risen Savior and what he taught. Well, why? Because your judgment seat is totally based on what you've learned and done in your life based on Paul's teachings. Well, we know that. Romans 2:16. Let's just say it again. Let's keep going here. I should be able to quote this stuff, but not anymore. Romans 2:16. Here we go. Now I don't have to bleep out all the page turnings and the different noises that show up, like when the heater comes on or dishes are clunked, or like I say, the dog snoring over here. I'll just let that stuff go. That'll save a lot of time. Actually, that was most of my time for the radio program, by the way, was I didn't have time to just talk to the family. I miss that. I still miss having live people in front of me, but we would just kind of, right in the middle of a sermon, just kind of relax things and talk a little bit, get them to laugh and get back on the subject, go back and repeat some things because I know somebody coughed when I said a specific verse. And, you know, you got to play the atmosphere, play the crowd. And I still can't do that. But anyway, I know. I still do talk an awful lot of wasted words here. So Romans 2:16, get back on the trail here. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. So we might as well study Paul and look for that eternal gold that we're talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And that's what we have coming next. And like it says in Hebrews, which is what all the pastors claim, when he says in Hebrews chapter 13, he says in verse 7, there we go, remember them which have the rule over you. Well, first of all, I don't have the rule over you. Who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. You know, follow my faith. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about the faith of Jesus Christ. He's actually talking about the faith that pastor has. Him. His own faith. So a lot is put on the pastor to stay perky, to stay in the faith, keep the faith, baby, that kind of a thing, and follow that pastor's walk. And verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourself, for they watch for your souls. But see, I don't really watch for your souls. Listen, your soul is your business. And if you don't want to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, according to Paul's teachings, and follow Paul as he follows Christ, then I can't help you anyway. So my concern really is that, one, you haven't got a false salvation. So we do challenge that. That was one of Paul's biggest concerns, that people would fall for the imitation Savior, the Antichrist, you know, another Jesus. He was concerned about that. And then he wants you to have some gold, precious stones, silver, that type of thing. But he wants you to have some eternal rewards. So really, all we need to concern ourselves with here is one of two things. A person's salvation, it does need to be the real Savior. But if you just study Paul and you study the risen Savior's teachings and understand rightly dividing, you will challenge your own salvation because you'll ask yourself, boy, I wonder if I truly am saved. I think you'll ask yourself that because the Spirit of God who's trying to reach to you will get you to ask that question. And then the second thing, obviously, is the gold, the judgment seat of Christ. So if we go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, we can just spend a few seconds here, obviously, on earthly gold, which is, you know, money, rich, that kind of thing. And of course, we go down to verse 9, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition, For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, and here's what happens when you're going for that earthly gold more than anything else, you'll err from the faith. You'll pierce yourself through with many sorrows. Now, all of us understand that verse. It's not so much that we coveted after it, but we went after it. We needed it. And when we find ourselves needing money like that, we find ourselves being kind of falling away from the truth, from the faith. We kind of get away from this stuff. We're busy making money. And so these things that we find out that we should be doing for our judgment seat of Christ, that we've gotten off the trail. We're back to just making money. And we get to the point where it says, you'll err from the faith and you'll have a bunch of sorrows because money is your object of life. So, and he says, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, fight the good fight of faith. So, and that's the judgment seat of Christ. That's our goal. So we've got three things to be looking at here. Let's still spend time and look at fool's gold, and let's find some things we can ask people, or we can challenge them in a nice, meek way, saying, do you really believe you can do this in the Beatitudes, for example? So it's still part of our destroying the magnificence of these religions. It's destroying the magnificence of a denomination or of a new Bible. How can a new Bible be magnificent? Well, it's magnificent enough that the people would toss out the King James Bible and take this NIV or ASV or whatever. Now, we also know that we're living in a day now where people don't even care what a Bible says. Doesn't matter which one, you know, we're reprobated out. We're not going to get very far with people. Well, maybe we will. I know, and you'll find the right one, you can. But I know some of you have found a guy, they've been interested, or a woman, whatever, they've been somewhat interested, and it sounds interesting to them. And they go back and they talk to their pastor, and you'll probably never see him again. I can virtually guarantee that that pastor probably got a little angry in his answer to that person. Oh, that Paulson guy, these Paul guys, and they get kind of wrathy. We know that. Anyway. Let's just continue. We'll expose the fool's gold. And if you find yourself having too much money, you can always send it this way. But don't let it become our coveting goal. And let's shoot for the eternal gold, which is Paul's teachings. And seriously, if you just read Paul's books, here's what I suggest you try to do. I've done this before. When I first got into this stuff and started to realize what the judgment seat of Christ is going to be is based on Paul's teachings, I went through Paul's books and I put a little circle by the verse that was a do verse, something I need to do in order for that judgment seat of Christ to pass that through the fire, to make it through the fire. You can do that. You know, it says right in the verse out. Just mark it in your Bible. Just put a little check there or a circle or whatever. And that does bring me to another point here that I discussed with one of the church men last night. He had a question about some of that stuff in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, for example. And we'll finish up with that. And it was a good question. Feel free to send me questions. They challenge me. They make me think about stuff. And it's in verse 15. And it says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And he wanted to know what yet so as by fire meant. Well, I've never really thought much about it. I just realized that it's talking about the fact that our works will be put into the fire, but we ourselves won't be. And the question was, I had made a mention a week or so ago about being, you know, saved by the skin of your teeth, that this one commentator said that Paul said that. No, Paul didn't say that. Job said that. Well, doesn't that mean the same thing? No, because it doesn't say that. And what I want people to realize is, even though something doesn't seem all that bad, or all that different, or all that dangerous, whatever, you got to remember, they're crafty. They're deceiving. In order to be deceived, you have to be tricked. You have to think that what you're hearing or what you're getting is still true, even though it isn't quite the same thing. We have to despise that. We have to destroy the magnificence of that easy deception. So, just think about it. We have been saved by fire. Christ went to hell, and he paid our sins. So, yes, we have been through a fire, but Christ went through it for us. So, he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Well, see, we were also passed through the fire, but Christ did it for us. That would be my response, my simple response to that. And so if you got more to add to it, let me know. But there's other things. Corinthians is a tough couple books to get through because you've got to realize that Corinthians had a lot of action from God to the people. God to the people through Paul. God to the people through somebody like that, pastors or whatever, because that was before that which is perfect came. Okay, that's King James Bible. So there's a lot of things in Corinthians that were speaking in tongues, for example, because during that time, speaking in tongues, there were the rules to follow, and it took place. I believe it took place up to 1611. Now, whether it took place in these churches correctly, that's a different ballgame. It's not this googly glob and all the stuff that's going on today. Not at all. It was just another language. And people could hear what was being said because that person was in that language. That's what tongues is. So, yes, I don't have a problem with that existing before 1611. But after 1611, no, I don't believe it did. So as you read through Corinthians and you see some of these spiritual verses that somebody was able to do because God showed them or whatever, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 talks about you receive the spirit of the world, and you go through that God hath revealed them unto us by his spirit. You get into this spirituality stuff that you don't need a Bible. Well, they didn't have a Bible then. So that's why it sounds like it does. Now, you have to realize that whatever's taking place spiritually in Corinthians, it can still take place in us, but it comes through the Bible. It comes through our reading of our Bible. And it comes through us not quenching the Spirit of God with our walk. Which is another reason, by the way, to be looking at to be looking for eternal gold, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the judgment seat of Christ, because if we're doing some of these other things, then we're quenching the Spirit of God. Maybe we're causing somebody to stumble. We'll go through those things as well again. So anyway, there's my audio for this thing. So the notes, I'm just going to scan my notes here real quick. Like, we got some things here about, yes, gold was very important in the Old Testament. And they had to do a lot of building using gold. Fantastic. That must have been just a fabulous temple they were building there. Then about Jesus was given gold. Some comments about gold there. And we look into God's gold. Isn't that just a great wild thing, whatever, that pure gold, pure gold is clear? Says here, and the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. That's pure gold. That just sounds absolutely gorgeous, you know what? And then there's some other comments there about the judgment seat of Christ, and that's what we're going to be getting into, the walk, the manner of life, exposing some more of the fool's gold, talking a little bit about earthly gold, and looking at Paul's teachings. We're just going to keep it up. And it's nice. I don't feel like I've got that 30-minute time to get in, but if we ever find another big city that would take our programs on, we could change those things a little bit. We'd go through it again if the money was there. We just have to be open to anything. I do want to thank Bob again for making that program available for as long as it was. That's about 150 programs we got through, and maybe some people are still checking it out. You never know. So that's it for this one. There's our first introduction to this whole panning for gold stuff. You guys have a good day, have a good evening, have a good morning, whatever it is, and keep in touch. Even if I don't get written back to you, because I've got a lot of things coming up at school. I'm writing a musical, actually taking Pizza Dragon and writing up the script and everything. So that takes a long time. We're going to have the Pep Band playing. This is when they're finally going to sound good for the first time in a bunch of years. So that should be somewhat exciting, I mean, considering. Concerts and contests, all sorts of stuff, I tell you. What you got to do to keep a job, right? That's what we'll be doing on this end, plus the health. I know that people out there having health challenges, as are we, and we just got to keep praying for each other and be aware of what's going on and help when you can. So we will talk to you at the next whatever and whenever.